Welcome to the Realistic Healthy Living Podcast, where I share with you information that may help and support you as you work towards your own goals. This podcast can help you find a more realistic and practical approach to tackling common dietary challenges. I will be sharing some intimate interviews as well as my own insights to shed light on important nutritional and well-being topics. I'm Shani, your host and a certified nutrition consultant. I work with people seeking to look and feel better, providing them with realistic, safe, and doable solutions so they can reach their nutritional goals without giving up their favorite foods. Ready? So let's begin. Hello, realistic people. You know, because I've been in the professional side of nutrition for quite a few years now, I see this repetitive pattern among most of my clients. And the way I see this pattern, at least in most cases, it makes people refrain from making a change to their food intake or working with a nutrition professional. So in this episode, I decided that I'm going to address three concerns that most of you have, but feel uncomfortable saying them out loud. And I get it. It's normal to feel that way, especially because there's so much confusion in the world of nutrition. You know, one day this trend begins and the other fades away, and then the next day we find out that a healthy food is not healthy anymore, or any other overwhelming information that leaves us not knowing what to do. And my concern is that I know that many of you who have a certain nutritional goal will decide not to do anything about it just because you're not aware of the answers to these three concerns. So I'm here to help, and I hope this episode will eliminate a certain objection you may have when thinking of working towards a nutritional goal. Before I begin, I would like to remind you that everything I provide in this podcast is general information only and should not be seen as personalized recommendation. Should you decide to make any changes to your lifestyle, please check with your doctor first. And one more thing, the answers to the questions or concerns I will present here are the answers I would provide. Maybe if you go to another nutrition professional, you may get different answers, or maybe not. And that's fine. Just like we're all different, so are nutrition professionals with their different approaches to health and nutrition. All right, so let's start with the most common question you are not asking, and that is, am I going to feel hungry during my diet? You know, that's honestly the most basic and legit question any person can ask when considering starting a weight loss diet or working on changing body composition. And I really wish people would verbalize it more because I see it as a very natural concern, and this should not stop anyone from starting. So let me relate to this concern. Sadly, there's this notion that diet equals hunger. Most people have it in their head that dieting means deprivation and frustration. And you know what? Even alienation, because we all have this picture in our head where we're at a dinner party, for example, and everyone eats whatever they want except us because we're on a diet, and we can't have a second helping of something, or not even a piece of that cake for dessert. And I would like to address this question very seriously and deeply because it probably is the number one concern I hear all the time from people and my new clients. First, I'd like to say that if you work with a nutrition professional or you have decided to lose some weight on your own, and you constantly feel hungry, maybe the diet you have chosen is not the right one for you. Maybe it is too low on energy. Maybe it doesn't provide enough of a certain macronutrient. And keep in mind that there are different diets for different reasons for different people. For example, a person who wants to lose weight fast test, like an athlete before a certain competition, will probably need to go through a more extreme approach to food reduction. But today, I'm referring to the average person. If you count yourself as the average person and you are overall healthy, you will most likely feel a little hungry at some point in the day, but it should not be because you're deprived, but simply because it's time to have some food. You know what? Maybe now is a good time to quickly talk about feeling hungry, because maybe there's a misunderstanding about that topic. Look, we're fortunate enough to live in an area of the world where food is abundant to the majority of the people, and most people are not starving. So I'm definitely not talking about hunger in its literal meaning, nor am I talking about fasting, but more of that feeling of being hungry when you have not had food for a few hours because you were busy, because you are after a hard workout and your body is demanding energy, or for whatever other normal reason. Feeling a little hungry and ready to have some food is a natural feeling to have, which means that with the drop of sugar levels in your blood, a hormone called ghrelin rises and signals us to have some food in order to bring back up the sugar levels in our blood. And that's okay. That's how our magical body works. It always strives for balance, which is also known as homeostasis. And if you haven't had food in a while, it will signal you to eat. I think what people are nervous about when it comes to hunger is the feeling of deprivation, meaning that on one hand, you have not had enough food for your energy output levels, and on the other hand, you won't be able to eat what you're used to. So back to answering our question. I already mentioned that maybe the chosen diet is not the proper one for you. But another thing to consider is that in order to lose weight, you need to consume a little less energy than you expend. That is the formula. Having said that, some people are used to large volumes of food. So if that's you, you would need to consider the caloric density of your foods. And what do I mean by that? It is possible to lose weight by eating only chips and ice cream, but it will translate into having very little food because chips and ice cream are very dense in calories. On the other hand, if you incorporate into your weight loss diet mostly foods that are lower in calories, you will be able to afford a higher volume of foods during the day. And one last thing about this big concern, our bodies are amazing. They can adapt to so many things, but we need to accept that if we have eaten a certain way for a long period of time, and now we are changing our way of eating, whether it's what we eat, how much we eat, or both, we must allow our bodies to adjust to the new way of eating and gradually function with the new conditions we provide it with. Because weight loss, unlike what the media or influencers tell you, takes time, work, and patience. It's something we must accept. Can you lose weight quickly? Yes, of course you can. Is it smart and long-term? Well, in most cases, no, it is not. So not to undermine your concern about being hungry on a weight loss diet, I would like to emphasize that it can be easily managed with the right tools and if you follow a proper diet tailored to you. All right, the second question I get a lot. Would I need to stop eating my favorite foods? And that is something that I run into a lot, and that's actually one of my personal approaches in my work. I do not allow my clients to stop having their favorite foods, because I believe that your favorite foods are your favorite foods for a reason. They provide you with pleasure and joy. And I feel I don't have the right to take away from someone something that provides them pleasure. So in my work, I make it a point to incorporate such foods into my clients' weight loss diet or any goal that they may have. And another reason behind it is that I believe that the stricter a diet is, the shorter life it will have. You know, going on a weight loss venture is already a bit of a challenge, and we don't want to make it more difficult than it already is. But then again, that's my approach. Maybe another nutrition professional will tell you differently, but I would like to ensure that my clients' favorite foods stay a part of their food intake. And the third question that I want to raise that you are not asking is actually not a question, but a comment that I get often before people start their weight loss path. And that is they feel it's too expensive to eat healthy. And I really do understand why people say that. You see, with all the hype around superfoods and expensive detox powder and food supplements and a lot of other things that I understand why people get stressed and say that financially they can't afford weight loss or eat more healthily. And I think that I want to maybe start with defining healthy eating before getting into answering this concern. People have different definitions of healthy eating. You can go back to episode 1 of this podcast where I go a little bit deeper into the definition of healthy eating. But I'm going to quickly mention it here. The way I see it, eating healthily would be having mostly a variety of wholesome foods that provide us with all the macro and micronutrients that we need and that have been processed the least and or without additives, which could challenge our health. Now let's talk about what could potentially make eating healthily less affordable. So I'd like to start with talking about buying organic. Whether you choose to buy organic or not, that is a personal choice and depends on availability and affordability. I think that eating organic may probably have a bigger impact on our environment and planet than it would on our personal health, which is not less important, of course. But what I'm saying is that eating organic should not be your main goal if there's a big place for improvement in your current way of eating. What do I mean? So, for example, if you eat heavily processed foods loaded with sugars or salt for 2 meals a day every day, I wouldn't worry about eating organic at the moment, but I would put an immediate emphasis on reducing that type of food instead. So the bottom line is if you want or you can or you prefer to eat mostly or only organic, go for it. But if that is a factor that holds you from being able to afford a healthy weight loss diet, please know that it's possible to eat very healthy and include no organic products in your diet. Just as a side note, it is also possible to eat mostly organic but not healthily, because you can choose organic chips and organic candy, and yes, they are organic, but they don't necessarily fall under the foods of choice for lunch or dinner. So that was about organic. Let me dive a little bit deeper into superfoods for a minute. Superfoods have been promoted as foods that contain certain desirable nutrients that help us with fighting a certain disease or deficiencies, and maybe they provide us with added value beyond its nutritional one. Even the cosmetic industry has incorporated these wonder foods into their creams and shampoos and other products, which of course helped raise their sales quite nicely. There was even a survey and research done showing that people are willing to pay more for food and products that are considered healthy and have the term superfood in its description. Now, let me repeat, if you want and are willing to spend the extra dollars to purchase so-called superfoods, by all means, go ahead. It is an entirely personal choice. But I'm repeating, my point is that it is most definitely not a must. You can eat healthily without spending extra money on a very well-marketed product that claims to have superpowers over another common and better-priced product. You know what? I'm going to give you an example. Let's talk goji berries for a second, which were so popular a couple of years ago. Goji berries became famous for their antioxidant properties, containing large amount of vitamins A and C and beta-carotene. And that is fantastic. The thing is that goji berries are A, not available or affordable to everyone, B, they are known for their high spoilage rate, and C, you can get vitamin A and C, as well as beta-carotene, from a plethora of common and more accessible options found in the produce aisle of any supermarket, such as carrots, broccoli, sweet potatoes, blueberries, bell peppers, mangoes, and greens. So the message that I'm trying to convey is that superfoods are marketed and advertised as wonder foods, that their super properties can be easily found in other common produce at your local superstore. So please do not stress about them. So yes, these are the three most common concerns I know you are shying away from asking or commenting, and maybe are holding you back from starting your work with a nutrition professional or by yourself. And I truly hope this episode gave you some needed clarity and that you will start working on your goal, knowing that everything is doable and there are always ways to reach better health. And please aim for improvement and not perfection. I hope this episode provided you with some value. If so, your support will really help me. Here are two simple ways to do so. The ideal and easiest way would be to click the follow sign. And if you're willing, please share my podcast with anyone you think could benefit from it. Thank you for joining me today, and I'll see you in the next episode.